Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast, a show where we interview some of the most successful people in real estate to help you understand how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more clients in your business. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast. I am so excited today to be interviewing the one and only Mr. Jesse Zagorski, who is a team leader with eXp, and I believe the founder or creator of the Agent Power Huddle, which is an incredible content group on Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. And recently had you on as a guest. I had such a fun time. Just a big group of motivated people are out there killing it. And excited to have him on the show today to pick his brain so that maybe he can help you grow your business. So Jesse, thank you so much for coming on the show, bro.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited to be here. You are such an incredible amount of knowledge and wealth of experience too. So this would be fun.
I love it. I appreciate it. Okay, give us the story, man. Who are you and kind of how'd you get to where you are today?
I am in San Diego, California. I have been in real estate for 17 years. I run a team for most of my career. My business partner is has been my mom. So I'm a mama's boy by birth and by through my family. And I got deep into REO during the REO years. So not that there's much REO these days, but we can, you know, if anyone's curious, we can touch on REO. And then I took a detour from REO into moved to Southeast Asia for a year and managed to sell houses living in a foreign country. So it's all about duplicatable systems and having that run. So I took a year off life, traveled around, learned about digital marketing in Southeast Asia for a while, and then came back in 2014 and started my team back up again. And that's been my course.
What did you learn about digital marketing in Southeast Asia? That's awesome. What did you learn there?
Oh, it was so fun. So it was nothing specific about Southeast Asia other than the fact that it's such a cheap place to live that even now, I'm sure, but at the time, it was just hub for all of these digital nomads. If you know the book, 4-Hour Work Week, Tim Ferriss kind of sparked a movement or put a name to a movement that already existed. So there's all these people that were, expats from various countries that had all moved to Chiang Mai, Thailand. So what did I learn about digital marketing? Where I learned funnel creation. I learned different ad strategies. I mean, really, a lot of the stuff that not much has changed from a concept level from 10 years ago to today. But it's all the same stuff. But just kind of some of the original foundations going deeper into that was really fun.
That's awesome. That sounds like it would be a blast.
Oh, it's best year of my life.
What would you say are some of the top strategies digitally that you guys are using today to grow from a production standpoint in California?
So it's about nurturing and it's the same things you talk about all the time, nurturing and engaging your audience, taking it from cold to warm and serving content in a way that's going to basically do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. I still do believe though, as much as we talk digital marketing, I still do believe there has to be some component of personal interaction. Yeah. And I think that especially as consumers have gotten more savvy to the point of, I don't know how many people you have responding with like, are you a bot or a real person? To a bot?
I get asked this every day because I'm responding to my Instagram DMs. I'm responding to my Facebook Messenger. And I actually still take sales calls when I'm needed. And people are like, wait a second, why am I talking to you? I thought I would be talking to somebody else. It's like, hey, bro, it's me. No, it's not a bot. Like somebody on my Facebook DMs the other day, like, this bot is so cool. Like, how did you set it up? I'm like, I took a picture of myself. It's a real person. I didn't set up any bot. Like, it's me. What are you talking about?
Right.
I thought that was funny.
But that's the thing is, I don't think it's just because you're dealing with real estate agents and brokers. I think that consumers are getting more savvy. They're realizing that how many the automations there are that feel real, and it's making consumers a little skeptical sometimes of like what it is there. So I think it's using the automated content in a way that is served so it's authentic, but it also is like, hey, this is a bot. That's okay. And then there's parts that are real human interaction.
Mm. What would you say? Because there's a few things you said to unpack there. Let's talk about like digitally, like what are you seeing right now or the top ways for you to stay relevant, to engage your sphere? What are some of the things that you're doing?
So from the very simple, I love video texting. And it's not automatable. I mean, it is, but the whole idea behind it is to do something that is not an automation, right? And that's just kind of piggybacking on this idea of there are bots. And if you're recording a video to someone that is personal to them, because you mentioned Sphere. I'm going to treat Sphere different than I'm going to treat someone that is a lead that I've, a pay-per-click lead or a Facebook lead that's been generated, that's one of 10,000 in my database that's dripping through, that you don't have the bandwidth in the day. But as people come through, if you have key clients, contacts, I do think separating, so video texting on a regular basis, you know, whether it's just making a consistent system of, I do 10 video texts a day. I send out 10 video texts a day, right? Just something really consistent and easy like that. That is really working well for our team. There is, on a more, you know, automatable thing, like what type of content are we serving? Really things that are trying to be a resource that's helpful outside of just the straight up, here's something about your house. Here's something about your house. Something community driven. So we're doing in our community, in one of our local farms here this weekend, we're doing a shredding event where we rent a shredding truck and we have them come. Super old school. Well, not shredding is old school, but the idea of having an event in your farm, that's an old school concept. But then we're leveraging digital media and video to promote it and to just to continue to get in front of people. It's just another touch point.
I hear there's like a general theme in some of the stuff you're doing, which is centralized around video. Why do you feel like video is such a powerful tool for you?
That's a really good question. Why? I mean, part of it, I do it without thinking because I just watch, I hate to say I'm a sheep, but you just watch everyone else doing video and going to video. And yeah. I mean, I have been looking to see that there is something to be said for going back to static images, especially for, you know, keeping ad costs down and things like that. However, I think you connect better with video. I think video allows you to really deepen that relationship. So let's use that on the training side, for example, Agent Power Huddle, which is this daily training platform that we do every day for agents. There's agents around this country that I know now. This is free training that we do. And there's agents that I know that I've never met in person, never had a one-on-one conversation with, but yet they feel like they know me. And I feel like I know them because I see them on the screen every day. And you develop this connection with video that doesn't happen with voice only or static imagery. Mm-hmm. I think with podcasting, right? If you're doing long form podcasting, then voice only can be cool. Other than that, though, I think video still is better than static images these days. Is that what you're seeing too, though? I mean, in terms of use of video?
Yeah. Obviously, that's a loaded question for me to ask because I do know why it works really well. But I just wanted to get your take to see like what maybe you guys have uncovered. But there's most certainly psychologically a lot of really powerful benefits to using video. And I think the most significant is the impacts that has on relationship building, because we talk often about parasocial relationships. We talk often about brain studies and neuroscience and really ultimately like this conversation we're having right now, recording this podcast via Zoom, right? We both are having this conversation face to face, and consciously we're aware of the fact that we're having a virtual interaction, but subconsciously we aren't aware of that. The brain actually is processing this information the exact same way. And I know that's very nerdy if you're listening to the podcast, like, okay, whatever. But what's so powerful is like you're sending out personalized video text. We hear people say this every day right now. I could close deals if I can get in front of people. That's the key part of that phrase. If I could get in front of people. Well, those personalized videos literally put you right in front of the user in a way that makes it feel subconsciously like you're having a physical interaction, like a human-to-human interaction. And that's so powerful. And we didn't get on here to talk about, you know, brain science and neuro studies, but
yeah, like, but let's get nerdy. I like nerdy.
There's definitely a lot to be said for putting yourself in front of a buyer or seller, or literally just anybody in the community that can connect you with one of those people. And video is the most powerful delivery format we have of that, without question. And so I love that you guys are doing that. I know why it works so well for sure. But I was curious if we're seeing anything else outside of that.
Yeah, but let's get nerdy just in case, because I'm sure you've referenced this study before, and I have to find it so I can tell you the exact, but those people who are nerdy listening, they've done functional MRIs on the brain that when you're talking about that I always call it the parasympathetic response. You said parasocial response, right?
Same parasocial relationship. Yeah.
Parasocial relationship. If you do a study of someone when they're literally sitting in front of someone or watching someone on a camera, your brain lights up in almost the same way on a functional MRI. It's really amazing how the brain works. So I tell this quick story of my wife when she was pregnant. she was watching the TV show Friends, binge watching, right? Because she was like towards the end of pregnancy, she was having some stuff where she wasn't able to get around much. So she was really just like, and I'm working from home back then, listening from the other room, listening to the characters on Friends. I wasn't even in the room with them. Okay. I just kept hearing, but every time I walked through the room, I'd see him on the screen a little bit. I'd go past. When she finished watching those, I literally myself felt like I was friends with those characters. Like they were friends in real life. And I wasn't even sitting in the room for the whole time.
1,000%. 1,000%. I mean, it's so true. That story, I think, plays into that a lot. 1,000%. Because like one of the things I loved about Friends is like, not only did you build a relationship with each character and there's some nerdy stuff there, but the stories that were told allowed for what Donald Miller, I'm not sure if you're familiar with StoryBrand, calls narrative transportation, which is where when we hear a story in a specific way, the mind literally transports itself so that the person hearing it feels like they're living in the story itself, which is, you know, I'm leading a training a little bit today talking about how to create case studies so you can generate seller leads, because I feel like the real estate industry right now, we're in an inventory crisis, is speaking the wrong message to the market. And if we can change the way that we're sharing that information, we can really start inviting sellers in to experience what's happening in the market and not be afraid of what's happening in the market. Because right now, if I hear an agent say, there's no inventory, just sold this house for six figures over asking, you know, we outbid all these people, there were like 80 competitors, like all these crazy things. I'm sorry, I make a noise over here. All these crazy things I keep hearing in the story. I'm like, you are pushing sellers away. Because yes, I may be able to get $80,000 over asking and be one of your success stories, but what am I going to do when I sell my house if I have to go compete in war form with all these other buyers in the marketplace? It doesn't make any sense. And so we got to change the story, start inviting people in to experience something different. So I love it. Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah. Now I want to know when that training is. I'm like, I want to know more about that, man.
Yeah, well, it's 4 p.m. Central Standard. if you want to jump on, I think it's being conducted via Facebook Live or Zoom or something like that. But anyway, back to it. How do you travel the world and still do real estate transactions? Let's shift gears a little bit. What allowed you to do those things?
Systems. Just having duplicatable systems. And that's something one of my coaches said to me years and years ago, is duplicatable systems bring duplicatable results. And you have to have solid lead generation and you have to have solid back office support or else it doesn't work. Right. So I obviously still had someone who was boots on the ground here who was able to look at these houses, because someone has to see the house. You can't value, I would have a hard time valuing it from Thailand. But once you put systems in place and you have your lead gen running, you can do it from anywhere. I mean, really, truly, I think a lot of agents, they are still in the role in their job. And would I have made more money if I was back in the States? Of course. Right. Because I'm paying people to do things that some of it I could have been doing myself, but that wasn't my highest priority at that moment. My priority was freedom. My priority was creating a system that would work. So I was able to still sell houses from Thailand.
That's incredible. I have this thing I created a couple years ago called the Pyramid of Problems. And every agent, if you look, has this exact same pyramid of problems. And it's basically the life cycle of issues that agents develop when trying to grow a business. Because most agents come from a jobs background, right? Where they're working for somebody else. They're a part of somebody else's system. They never really train to create those things for themselves. And most salespeople aren't actually wired to, operators to build systems. So this is definitely an issue. What happens is when an agent starts a business, well, the first problem is they don't have any leads or opportunities. So they got to figure out how to get through and solve that problem. They solved that problem. And, you know, biggest issue I see right now is conversion. So they get a lot of leads coming in, but they're converting less than 1%. So how do I fix that? So you go to sales is really the next issue that they have to solve, or conversion rather. And so they get really good at converting leads. And then they step into a real problem where they've got a lot of leads, they're converting a lot of deals, but they're working 80 hours a week and they feel trapped. And that's where systems and processes comes in, where you've got to create these duplicatable systems that will allow you to basically pass whatever it is that you're doing off to somebody else so that you can step out of wearing so many different hats. I think it was Warren Buffett said, you should build your company so that it can be ran by a monkey, because hopefully one day it will be, meaning it should be so easy to run that literally anybody could do it. What were some of your top takeaways in building some of those systems? Because maybe you walked into this and you were just, great at it, or maybe you're like most and you're like, okay, I built a system, but it sucks. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to make it. What was your experience?
I do think I have a natural talent for building systems. Like, that's how I'm wired. I love going that way, but I absolutely built stuff that failed. I mean, that was the thing, is you have to be willing to build it and be, take a really critical look. Cause I think with most agents, they get something off their plate. They're just so happy it's off their plate that
they just move on. In the world.
Right. They're like, I just want to move on. And to really go back and critically look at, are you getting the results you're looking for? Is there a way to improve it? Is there a way to make it more effective? Not necessarily more efficient, just more effective. And go ahead.
No, keep going. I'm just agreeing with you.
Okay. I could see you were excited. I thought so. So I think as you're building these systems, for me, the other thing I did was on the sales side, I got really, really obsessed with sales early on in my career. So I had been working in sales since I was like 14 years old. My parents owned a chain of appliance stores. I was after school going and selling washers and dryers and refrigerators to people significantly older than me because I was 14 years old. And I was starting to like, I didn't study the craft of sales at 14. I was just throwing myself in. But then I liked it. I was like, I like this idea and I want to figure out how to make more of an impact. So as I started studying sales, because I just had a lot of different sales jobs growing up. And as I started to learn that, I found the best way to really learn and master something was to teach it. Mm-hmm. And by teaching it to people over and over, one of these things that I was able to do then, tying this back into how do you leave for a year to go to Thailand, is by consistently teaching people these systems, I got really good at teaching them. And I got really good at teaching sales. And part of it is knowing when something's working, when someone's not, and weeding through people to find the right crew. Once you find the right crew and you've spent a lot of time training, the stepping out becomes easy, right? That's just a natural next step.
I see so many agents making this mistake today where they're generating a lot of leads, just making it, maybe somebody listening to this, maybe even will get a little triggered by this, but you get a lot of leads coming into the business and you hate follow-up so much that you pass it off to somebody else, but you had no system. Like, you had no rhyme or reason. You just had leads coming in. Maybe they were going into some automations, but ultimately you weren't converting at a high level. Somebody convinced you that it was because maybe you were too busy doing other things or something like that. And then you literally just pass off to anybody, like not even somebody that knows what they're doing, but anybody that will do it. So you don't have to
Any company you can cut a check to, any person you can pass it off to, anybody, so that you can not feel the guilt of that, you know, you're not doing what you need to be doing. 100%.
Right. And then what happens is they don't do a very good job either, but you don't know how to diagnose what they aren't doing. Therefore, you can't teach them, you can't optimize it, you can't make it better. And then you just feel like you ended up wasting even more money because you didn't know how to do it. You passed it off to somebody else that didn't know how to do it. And then, you know, you weren't getting the results. And
right.
I think this, like building a business, I think people have to set a realistic expectation with what that process looks like. And it's gritty and grimy, and it's not like the sexiest thing on the planet. I know there's a lot of allure to the lifestyle that it can afford you, but you got to understand, unless somebody's literally like renting a Lambo and snapping a pic, which seems to be the culture, you know, to an extent.
Right.
The people that are living these lifestyles, they sat in the grit and the grime until they didn't have to anymore. Like we recently just relaunched Whitley back in October 2020. With the new automated advertising platform. And I, the CEO of the company, stepped back into the sales process for 90 days. And I went through it. I sat on calls, I fielded appointments, I built the email sequences and the text campaigns. Like, I did the whole process until I could make it something I could replicate in somebody else. So now, and sorry to cut you off, but now I'm in that port where I've replicated it in somebody else. I've built a system and a process. I know how to do this scientifically now, where I could bring anybody into that position. I would know exactly how to get them to where we need them KPI wise. And then my next level or next iteration here is now I got to train somebody to be basically the sales director, sales manager that can replace me in even finding good salespeople, making sure they're dialed in. But like, even me, like I'm CEO of the company, like president, I'm not immune. I still had to go through that same process. I cut you off. You're about to say something.
No, I wanted you to dive deeper though, because I wanted you to keep going. Where I was jumping in was, were you excited to dive in and get back in that process?
Or did I was at the beginning because like I was really excited that people were rediscovering Whitley or discovering it for the first time, and that we had built this piece of technology that was like just, you know, I still get giddy about it because it took 4 years. It took a long time. So I was super eager to get in, figure out the messaging, figure out what to say, figure out, you know, why people buy and why they didn't and all those kinds of things. So that was really exciting for me. I got to a point there near the end where I was like, if I have to talk to one more person about the software, I'm gonna lose it. But I had gotten to the point where I needed to be, where I could get off the phone and hand that to somebody else. So I was super excited about it for sure. But like, it was gritty and grimy. There were days where I was doing sales calls for 8 hours a day and then doing my CEO job. So, you know, it's a process. It takes time, but you got to do it.
That was the part that I wanted to talk about though, is so I'm glad you were excited to start with, but you were still doing things where like, even though you're excited, your goal was not going to be to do 8 hours a day of sales calls, but yet
I didn't walk into that thinking, okay, this is my life now. I'm going to be on the phone for 8 hours. Like, no, right. I'm walking into this, like, I got to fire myself as fast as I possibly can. Here are the steps to doing that. Yes.
Right. And in terms of as a CEO or as you're building the systems, I'm not saying, and I don't think you're saying this either, that you have to literally learn every function in your company before you can bring someone else in. But there are certain high impact areas where they are critical to the success of your business that you just got to do it. And if you don't know how to do it, it's going to be really hard to make sure that someone else is doing it well. In terms of like organizing something on the admin backend side, like you can hire someone that has a good knowledge there, but it's very difficult to hire a high level salesperson, especially if you're starting up a newer business, because you don't have the budget to go pay someone who's got a track record, impressive track record in sales. And if they really do have an impressive track record in sales and they're willing to take a little bit of money you're offering, be wary as to if they're really as good as they say they are. I've come across a number of those in the career where it's like, that didn't work out the way I thought. You weren't as good at sales as we were thinking you were.
He was good at selling me, but he wasn't good at selling what we needed him to. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's important. We operate on a system called a value chain. And I learned it probably in part by through Tony Robbins and coaching with their organization. But we have really four categories for our value chain. So we have marketing as a category, sales or conversion as a category, support as a category, and then client success. And those last two are interchangeable. But if everything in the value chain is aligned, then we know that our client is going to get results. They're going to have an incredible experience. But if there's any breakdown in that chain, we know that the client is not going to have the best experience and get the best results. So when I look at my business and building systems and processes, I say, okay, look, I've got four categories within this value chain that I got to get right. And that doesn't mean that I need to be the one getting them right, to your point. But I know I'm really good at marketing and sales. But if I have to be on support all day, I'm going to close this door. I'm going to close the doors on this thing. Because I'm wired that if you ask me the same questions like two or three times, I kind of like, okay, we're done. Like I don't ever need to talk to you again. Like it's over. So if I'm in support answering the same questions over and over and over again, I got to go crazy. So I found the best people at doing that. And then they built out all the systems. But they learned my process for creating those systems. So I was able to come in and say, hey, you created the system. I see where you didn't do this part right. Let's fix that. And then everything kind of went back to moving flawlessly. So you're right. You don't have to be the one that does all the things, but this kind of art and science of creating those systems is something that you should grow to understand so that you can call people out and say, that's not right. And we've got to fix this piece.
Yeah, 100%. And something you just said that for everyone listening would be important is knowing yourself and knowing how you are wired, right? Yeah. I actually, interestingly enough, I'm almost the opposite of you in that I have a really high tolerance for repetition. Oh, I can do the same thing over and over.
I love people like you. Let's
do something else.
Well, you got to. Like, what? There's this really book I'm looking at right now. It was recommended to me by my coach. She was like, you need to read the book Rocket Fuel by Gino Wickman. And I read that book and I was like, okay, I'm not broken. I just hate
visionary
operations. I'm just not good at that.
Right.
So I'm really good at creating stuff, having a vision and doing those types of things. But I had to build an engine for me that could come in and make those dreams reality and then create I think it was Rob Dyrdek said, you've got to figure out how you can operationalize those dreams so that they can keep going. I see this all the time in the entrepreneur space and the agent space where people, they get so excited about something and then they create it and it works. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go to the next thing. It's like, wait, you got to come back. Like, you got a lot of money that you're leaving on the table here. I totally couldn't agree more, man. We should do something together for sure.
And I think most agents though are more wired like you. I think most agents are 100%. Not wired for repetition. It's how you end up being a real estate agent. And so knowing that you want to surround yourself with the people that's a fantastic book, Rocket Fuel. There's a 4-minute video for those people who don't like to read. There's like a 4-minute video on his website that summarizes most of the book. It's a really good concept. If you haven't checked that out,
it really is. I've taught a lot of people that concept too. It's like, look, you just got to understand that like, you're just not wired to do this. And that's not like you're bad or broken. It's just, you need an integrator, which is what the term they use in the book. You need an integrator that can come in and make those dreams and visions and those types of things you have in your head a reality. And we are very close, thankfully, because of success since launching the platform, we were very close to being able to hire a operations officer to come in and help operationalize the way that we do things and really help us grow and scale up. And I'm excited about that, but it's such an important thing. And I know with grave certainty, you would not have been able to travel the country and still sell houses if you didn't master that to a certain degree.
Yeah. And it took some failing forward before. I mean, you hear that phrase thrown around, but back to the mindset as you're setting up these systems, I almost wanted some of them before. This is before I left, because for a year before I left, I knew I was going to be leaving. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, I actually liked when I saw things that would break because it gave me a chance to fix them. And it gave me a chance to figure out things that were going better. It's where, you know, came up with, and these days it's not as important because listings sell so fast. But back when time on market was a little longer, right? We send out 3 proactive emails a week to each of our listings. They have 3 different templates that for depending on each day that has a different stuff that we send out, plus a phone call that goes behind it, plus a video explaining it, right? Like that came because all along the way, we were looking for ways to optimize and anticipate clients' needs to create an experience that would just happen on an operational standpoint.
What's the byproduct of doing this? I know that like selling a few houses and traveling the country is cool, but like if you were in your market and you had operationalized everything, created the right systems and processes, what's the true byproduct of doing that? Is it, you know, I can play golf every day now, or is it like I can scale up, or like what's the byproduct of being, of getting this part right?
It depends on your goals. So I think for a lot of people, it is scale up. I mean, at this point in my life, I've got a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. So my goal is not necessarily scale up. My goal is actually be the best father I can be. Mm-hmm. And that changed a lot from, I'm 41 years old. So if you would have asked me 10 years ago, my goal would have been very different. My goal at that point was scale up, be the biggest, baddest business I could possibly, you know, create.
Yes.
Now it's, I think there's, you see a lot in the real estate industry where everyone's always comparing themselves to everybody else. And it can easily make you feel this business that you should be proud of. You've built a good business and you look at someone else, like, but they're doing so much more. Does that mean I'm not like, it's, yeah. I've heard this quote come up, I don't know, 3 times, 4 times in the last week and a half, which means there must be some reason I meant to hear it, but comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really interesting one. So for me, it's right now, how do I create a lifestyle where I pick my 5-year-old up from school every day? That's important.
Yeah. 100%. I love it. So, that's awesome. A lot of the podcasts we've done lately, people have had this like key thing they've kept saying is like, before you get started, you need to know why you're doing it. Like you need to understand what it is that you want, because envy is a trap that's so easy to fall into, especially when we jump into these Facebook forums that are really like the top percent of producers, you know, around the country, and they're all talking about their success. You know, a lot of us don't see the people that are following, you know, those accounts that are just like, well, this is what they're doing. This is what I need to do. And it's like, no, man, you need to get clear on why it is you even started this. Like, what are you trying to do? And ultimately we go into real estate or we start businesses to create freedom for ourselves, right? We want to be able to create a lifestyle that, you know, we can spend our time however we want. And we want to earn the money that would allow us to do those things. And getting clear on what that is for you before you start, you know, even if you've already started, but you're not clear on that, get it, like, stop now and figure that out. I talk to a lot of people who are like, how much do you want to earn this year? And they're like, 6 figures. And I'm like, okay, is that $100,000? Is that $999,000? Like, that's a big difference between 6 figures.
Totally.
So man, I couldn't agree more. This has been an incredible conversation, Jesse, dude. We got to keep the conversation going. We're gonna have to do another Facebook Live or something like that where we get together and riff again. I appreciate you so much for coming on the show. This has been immensely valuable. What would be the best way for someone to connect with you if they wanted to learn more about you?
Yeah, just direct message, Facebook, probably the easiest way. Jesse Zagorski. That's always, I'm on there. Send me a message. Easy way.
Definitely. You're always quick to connect or respond, rather, if I reach out to you, man, and I always appreciate it. Thank you for being a guest on the show. I really do. It means the world that you'd stop by and chat with me for a little bit.
Thanks, Grant. Thanks for having me. Thank you for doing what you do. Seriously, you're such an incredible source of information and knowledge. I love it. So thanks,
Grant. Thank you. Guys, thank you as well for continuing to listen to the Client Generation Podcast. Make sure that you screenshot that you're listening to the podcast episode right now and go share this on Instagram. Tag me in it at Like Grant Wise. Tag Jesse too. He's really easy to find. But let us know what your favorite part of this episode was. Would love to interact with you. I'm always the one that is actually responding in my DMs. It's no robot. And I would love to connect with you and just continue to collaborate and answer any questions I can for you. So thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you on the next one. Peace. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Client Generation Podcast. Please make sure that you rate and review this episode so that we can continue to bring you more incredible guests to help you grow your business. Thanks and have an amazing day.